I don't know if you noticed in the Old Testament reading, it didn't really strike me until I heard it at the noonday service, that people were getting in trouble for doing religious things. And then I looked again at the gospel reading, and people are being criticized for doing religious things. A lot of it had to do with the motivation. And it's like when I went back and read that passage from Isaiah, it's like the people are fasting and they're looking over their shoulder back up at God. Are you catching this? I'm doing religious stuff down here. And there's a great disconnect between their religious life and their daily life. I said, okay, yeah, God says, okay, I see. Yeah, you're fasting, but you're abusing your workers. You're not feeding the hungry. You're not taking care of the poor. So what's that? And Jesus was upset with people who, want to give alms and show off while they're doing it. Not just showing off to God, but showing off to other folks. I'm being religious. Look at all of this. But I think they'll serve as warnings for us as we start into the Lenten season. The Lenten season, Lent itself, is just kind of seen as a drudgery. Especially if you live outside the church. If you're not part of the church and you're watching this happen, you're thinking, what a bizarre message. Because all of the themes of Lent are going to sound pretty peculiar to them. Self-indulgent people don't want to hear about self-denial. That doesn't make any sense. And people who live in a society that spends untold billions of dollars postponing death, they don't want to contemplate their mortality. I mean, they don't want to come in here and hear somebody say to them, remember that you were dust, and to dust you shall return. Gee, thanks. Not the message they want to hear. And a society that preaches and lives a philosophy of situational ethics and permissive indulgence, they hear the call to repentance in a much different way than we do. For them, it's judgmental. It's oppressive. They don't want to repent in ashes and dust. And when you look at our church year, the calendar, the world loves our Christmas. You don't have to be Christian to enjoy that. I have Jewish friends who like to celebrate Christmas. They love the Christmas spirit and the songs and all the festivities and people being nice to each other. But Lent, not so much. Let's face it. In the church, Lent's not popular. You can tell by the crowd we've drawn. And on the way here, I drove past a bunch of churches. Lights were off. Nobody in the parking lot. Not even having a service. And I know in life they'll get better. And I'm not really sure what the amount of chocolate we consume has to do with the kingdom of God. Actually, the more I eat, the closer I feel to the kingdom. It's So if you gave up chocolate for Lent, please see me and give me your chocolate. But beware of giving up things for Lent. And I'm going to tell you why. I used to do that. And I did my year of internship. And my internship supervisor that year, he decided that during Lent, he was going to give up. Are we working now?
Have to take motion sickness pills.
Okay. We're sideways for a while.
Okay. That's fine. People, a lot of people don't know that I'm really Spider-Man. See, it's the glasses. But I'm sorry, that was Clark Kent. But my internship supervisor, Ron, he decided that that Lent, he was going to give up drinking beer. His Lutheran, it was okay. You know, so it's not just allowed, it's expected. So he did that. And on Good Friday, he was rushed to the hospital with kidney stones. And he swears to this day, he said, I know if I had had that beer, I would have been fine. That never would have happened. And so he stopped. He gave up giving up things for Lent and started taking up things for Lent.
Yeah.
Spend more time doing other things. But the observance of Lent is far more than that self-improvement program. And the problem with that is it makes Lent about you. And Lent's not about you. Lent's not about me. It becomes a sort of a selfish thing. And in our Old Testament reading, we heard, and in the gospel reading, we heard that, you know, God just really isn't into our religiosity. That's not what God's looking for. Now, there are a lot of faithful in the church who are outstanding Christians who see Lent as a bit of a downer. No one ever says, we're celebrating Lent. We're always observing Lent. Lent is my favorite season of the church year, said no one ever, including myself. Penitential seasons, they're not supposed to be happy. Because penance calls us to be honest. Absolutely honest. We have to honestly examine who we are, how we're living, and that's awkward. Or as my daughter would say, awkward. And we also have to examine our relationship with God. That can be uncomfortable. But you absolutely have to be honest because, hey, you know he knows. But there are other things that we're called to do in Lent. If you choose to observe Lent. And I wanted to say choose to observe Lent because I was thinking when I first sat down to look at the lessons and thinking about preaching, I thought, Lent, my gosh, we've just been through a 2-year Lent.
Amen.
But the difference is that was imposed on us. Our choice to observe the Lenten season and that walk is not imposed on us. It's choice. We choose to observe Lent. And in a few minutes, you're going to hear Father Bill as the celebrant invite you to observe a holy Lent, including to participate in the disciplines of prayer and fasting and self-denial, reading God's word and meditating on God's word. Watch for that when it comes. Some people call these our Lenten disciplines, but they're not. They're Christian disciplines. They're the things that we should always be about, but we're not. That's the part about being honest and looking at ourselves. That shoulda, coulda, woulda kind of examination where we realize that we stand in need of repentance. And we're called to repentance. We're called to become again what we were called to become when we first came to Christ. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you first came to Christ? How liberating. How exciting. Ready to throw off everything to follow him. That's where you go on the Lenten journey. And I want to offer tonight a very radical idea. Lent is good news. It's not drudgery. It's not something to be dreaded. It's something to be embraced. It's a wonderful gift. Repentance is a wonderful gift. It's a gift to us as the church and a gift to each one of us as an individual. If you've ever worked with electronics, it's all around the room. I know some people work with a lot of electronics. To me, you know, I'm not well versed in it. And I think the greatest thing ever put on an electronic device is the reset button. The reset. When I've done everything I know how to do, push that button. My cable a couple of weeks ago, suddenly not working. Our internet's not working. I call and talk to someone with an accent. There's someone in Pakistan. Have you tried unplugging it? And so it actually has a reset button on the modem. You know, it's like, and it all came back like magic. Lent is the great big reset button for us. You can reset your relationship with God. You can reset your relationship with the church. You reset your relationship with each other, with the world. And we become less world-oriented and more kingdom-focused and kingdom-oriented. It's about the relationship. This is one of those sermons. As they all are. They're all about the relationship. Second chapter of Joel. One of my favorite passages. Not my absolute favorite. When you listen to the bishop, they're all his favorite. Even now, declares the Lord, even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. What an invitation to return to the Lord your God. The Lenten journey begins pushing that reset button. The call that you will hear tonight to participate in a Holy Lent, that invitation to participate in the Holy Lent is that invitation to come back into right relationship with God. And when that happens, you'll be surprised that you'll find yourself coming into right relationship with others. I admonish you and myself to listen to the words tonight in this liturgy. It's good news, not dreadful. They're words of an invitation, and we should be excited. I told them at noon, I said, so excited, I wanted to shout the word that we don't say during Lent. But it sounds a lot like jalapeno. Lent is traditional, that journey to the cross and eventually to the empty tomb. But it's an invitation to return to the Lord your God. It's an invitation from your Father to come home. Amen.
Mm-hmm.